The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity that He provides for us opportunities such as these where we gather in remembrance and in glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Next, we begin this sermon the way the commander of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhima afdalu salatu wassalam, would begin many of his sermons by saying, Usikum wa nafsi bittaqwallahi al-azim. I advise you and I advise myself to be God-conscious, God-fearing and pious human beings. Quickly, I want to talk about Quds Day. It is a day in which it has been marked in the Islamic calendar since the revolution by Imam Khomeini, rahimahullah, that this is the day in which we gather and mark as Quds Day, a day in which we stand in solidarity with the people of Palestine and show them our support that they are not alone in their suffering. When we talk about Quds Day, I want to mention two things very importantly that we have to understand. The first point that we talk about Quds Day is that what was the purpose of Imam Khomeini marking such a day? Yes, Sayyid Khomeini is marking such a day, there was a wisdom behind that. That man was not something who did things arbitrarily. There was a wisdom behind it. And really the wisdom behind the marking of this day is similar to he was following the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he displayed in the Holy Quran. You know, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Holy Quran, the original Qibla was facing Bayt al-Maqdas. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet, now turn your attention towards the Kaaba and that is going to be your new Qibla, right? The question is, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not know all along that He was going to change it? Did He change His mind? Of course He knew. He knew that He wanted Kaaba to be the Qibla all along. Then why did He leave the Qibla for a temporary period of time at Bayt al-Maqdas? The reason why is He wanted to unite every single person and believer of the people of the book to unite with the religion of Islam. Yeah? That place, Bayt al-Maqdas, was holy to Jews, it was holy to Christians. And by Islam making that the Kaaba, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was showing to them, making that the Qibla, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was showing them that, look, our religions are not different, they are the same. Yeah, it is merely a continuation. But what did the others do? They took it as a sense of arrogance and pride, that look, these Muslims can't even find their own place to pray. Yeah. Instead of uniting, they disunited.
به الإيمان والضاء وفيه جنانه تبدو
فلسطين متى يأتيك من خلف المدى جند
فلسطين متى يأتيك من خلف المدى جند.
Sayyid Khomeini, Imam Khomeini rahimahullah's objective with Al-Quds, the philosophy behind Al-Quds is what? To unite the Muslims on a cause which should be in everyone's heart. Yeah? But rather today we see that that's not happened. Our brothers don't show up to the Quds Day rally. Yeah, because they know who organized it or who started it. Whatever the reason being, the purpose of unity has been lost in this. And this is one of the main messages that we have to realize, that why this day was brought together. Palestine was an issue that every single Muslim, but every single human being can ponder and reflect about, and their heart would be attached to the plight of the people of Palestine. Okay? So that's the first thing that I want us to understand is the philosophy behind this day, is that it is a marking of unity for a cause. The second thing that I want us to understand is that Al-Quds Day, that Palestine and what is happening in Palestine is an example of why we should be gathering for Quds Day. It is not the only reason we are gathering for Quds Day. Yes? You see, if we make that claim that we are gathering out there for only the cause of the Palestinians, yeah, for only fighting the Zionists, yeah, then we have become narrow-minded in our understanding of Quds Day. Quds Day is not just to stand up for one Mazlum, it is to stand up for all the Mazlumin, yeah, throughout the world. Throughout the world, right? If we become narrow-minded in this, you know, we become like the Wahhabis. Yeah, the Wahhabis are narrow-minded in their approach and how they understand things. If we become narrow-minded in Quds Day, then we'll become like them as well, where we're losing focus of everything else. Quds Day is a day to mark and stand in solidarity with every single human being who is oppressed throughout the world. Everywhere, yeah? Whether it be in Syria, whether it be in Palestine, whether it be in Iraq, whether it be in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Yemen, in Nigeria, everywhere, in Myanmar, everywhere, and I'm forgetting many other countries, excuse me for that, yeah? But this is for us to stand in solidarity with them and to support all of them. What can we do? Yes, definitely there is the rally tomorrow. But that doesn't stop there. That doesn't stop there. You know, just because if I attend a rally doesn't mean now for 364 days I am fulfilled my duty towards the mazlumin. No, right? If you look at the month of Ramadan, the dua that we recite, Allahumma fukka kulla asir, Allahumma aslih kulla fasidin fi umuri min umuri al-muslimin. We're praying for all of these things. That means that this constant struggle against oppressors, the constant fight to help the oppressed, has to be in our resume and in our repertoire every single day of existence. Yeah? Not a day should go by where we don't weep for those who are mazloom. Not a day that goes by where we shouldn't pray for those who are mazloom. And today the list of mazloomiyat, or the people who are mazloom, may be longer than the list of people who are not mazloom, unfortunately. You know, the mazloomiyat is not only in third world countries. Today, the mazloomiyat of the Muslimin in particular have even reached places like America and Britain. Yeah, you see how Muslims are being treated there. You see the type of xenophobia, the type of racism, the type of hatred that exists in the societies there. It makes one fearful to even go visit those countries. Yeah, it makes one pray for those Muslims who are living in those countries, that they are saved from all types of oppression and tyranny. And therefore, this is a day, my brothers and sisters, in the month of Ramadan, everything is accepted, inshallah. Everything halal is accepted, inshallah. Yeah. So we pray for those who are mazloom in this day. That Ya Allah, the only way, Ya Allah, that their mazloomiyat can end, and that the Muslims' dignity can come back to life one again, is if you allow our 12th Imam Al-Hujja Ajalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. If you allow him to come and once again fill this earth with justice and equality as it has currently been filled with tyranny and injustice. Wa akhiru da'wan an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Oh, yeah. I will caress with my bare hands every precious grain of sand, every stone and every tree. 'Cause no matter what they do, they can't.
your soul will always be free.